Now, boys and girls, for a good many weeks now, we've been thinking about King David, that man that God chose to be the great king of Israel and the one who served God and honoured God in so many ways. We've seen, of course, how David wrote so many of the psalms that we sometimes sing in the Word of God, how he fought with that great giant Goliath. I'm sure that's something we always think about when we think about David, and how he fought so many of the battles of the children of Israel. How he was very gracious, even to that man, King Saul, you remember, who hunted him for his life and tried to put him to death. So many great things were told about David, so many gracious things, so many good things as well that David did. Do you remember last time we looked at some of the bad things that David did? Because the Word of God is very, very truthful. And the Word of God will have all of us to understand that each and every one of us has sinned. There is no one perfect in all of this world. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means none of us can please God in ourselves. Only one is perfect, and that's God himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the only Savior of our souls. So we were told those things, or we looked at those bad things, you might say, that David did, but always remembering, of course, how David was able to come before God and be sorry for the bad things that he did. And the Bible tells us then, even when we sin, as we do sin, if we confess our sin, if we tell God about our sin and are sorry for our sin, then God will forgive us for our sin. So David did many, many great things, the greatest king of all of the children of Israel, but he did bad things because he was a sinner like the rest, but he could come before God and he found God's forgiveness. This morning then, I want us to really finish with David, and then we move on in going through the Bible to the next one, who would be the next king of Israel, the man called Solomon. But first of all, there's one incident very, very important in David's life, and then a few of the last words that David ever spoke when he was in this world. Now, the incident, the thing that happened, concerned one of David's sons called Absalom. Absalom was the most handsome of all of David's sons. And my, the people in the palace thought there was nobody like Prince Absalom. But Absalom had a great desire in his heart, and it was this: it was to be the king of Israel. Absalom wanted to be king in place of his father. Probably Absalom didn't know that God had already chosen the one who was going to be the next king of Israel, who was Solomon. But Absalom had this desire in his heart, and day after day, he was waiting for his father to die. What a terrible thought to have in his heart. Then he got impatient, and he saw that David wasn't dying. And so he began to plan how he might overthrow his father David and become the king of Israel. Here's what he did. When people used to come up with cases, with complaints, with things that they wanted to tell the king, Absalom would meet them first at the gate of Jerusalem. And he would tell the people, tell me your complaint, what's in your mind? And they would tell him their complaint. And Absalom would say, well, I think that's a just complaint that you have, but really, there's not much point in telling my father. He won't listen to your complaint. Now he said, if I were king of Israel, I would listen to your complaint, and I would do this, and I would do that. In other words, boys and girls, this is a Scottish word in case there are any visitors, Absalom was very sleekit. He was sly, you see. And he gave the impression that David didn't care about the people, but he says, if I were king, I would care about you. David, of course, was busy governing the people and ruling the people, doing all the things that he ought to do. But that's how Absalom began to work. Then another very sly thing that he did was this. One day he came to his father David and he said, Father, can I go up to Hebron, city of Hebron, to worship the Lord our God? Of course, David was delighted. Boys and girls, your parents, if they're Christians, we're delighted when you seem to want to worship God. And when Absalom said to David, can I go up to Hebron to worship God? David said, yes, my son, you go up to Hebron. Absalom wasn't going to Hebron at all to worship God. He was going to gather an army to come and attack Jerusalem and overthrow David, his father. the news came back to Jerusalem that that's what was happening. And so David and some of his followers, they had to flee out of the city of Jerusalem to a place that was safe. David was very, very sad in his heart that Absalom should do this thing. Eventually, Absalom with his army came to Jerusalem. David wasn't there, of course. And so he gathered a greater army still, and he went out to fight against David's faithful followers. Now, in the mercy of God, David's faithful followers were experienced soldiers and experienced men, and soon they put the army of Absalom to flight. When Absalom was flying away, the Bible tells us, he'd great flowing hair, and as he was riding his horse through these trees, his hair and his head got caught up in the trees, and he was suspended there. He was hanging, caught up by his head. One of the soldiers saw him and he remembered what David said, because David said, "Be kind to the young man Absalom. Even though he has rebelled against me, be kind to him." But another soldier, the captain of the army, a man called Joab, he drew out his sword and he pierced it right through Absalom's heart. And when the word was brought to the palace what had happened, here's what David said. He said, "Oh, my son Absalom, I wish that I had died instead of you." What a strange thing to say. You know, boys and girls, maybe this is why David said that. He knew that Absalom wasn't ready to die. You see, David had another son years before, and when that son died, he was very sorry. But then he said, he won't come to me, but I will go to him. But when Absalom died, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, would that I had died instead of you." And so he was very sad in his heart, but of course he had to rise above that. And he had to go on with his work, which he did, until the time came when he died. And you have the last words of David in the second book of Samuel. And just listen just to a few of these words. He says, "Although my house be not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and assured, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow." What does he mean? Well, he says, "Lord, all my household," and maybe he's thinking about Absalom, "all my household haven't done that which is right before you. But God, I thank you that it is well with my soul." And you see, boys and girls, Christian parents want to see their children saved, converted to God. But they're very, very thankful that God has converted them. And when they can look to God and say they are thankful to God for salvation, they have done what they could for their children, then although everything isn't right with their household, with their children, yet they still must be glad when things are right with themselves. Very solemn lesson, but you remember, boys and girls, that all we're doing here is going through God's word, the Bible. And the Bible speaks very seriously, not only to grown-ups, but very often the Bible speaks very seriously to children and to young people especially. It speaks very serious words. So you think of David, think of the things that you've heard about him, all the good, great, marvelous things that he did, the bad things that he did, but how he could come to God and ask for forgiveness, and how he knew God's forgiveness in his life. And don't forget Absalom. And don't be like Absalom, but be like the other ones who followed their father's God.